Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello and welcome again to the Super Footy Podcast.
New lineup today, Jay Clark. Welcome, Jay-Z.
Hello, Mick. Just saw an unbelievable game, Geelong Hawthorn. 1-point win to the Hawks. It is the best rivalry in footy, Mick. I know you're a Richmond fan. You got your Carlton, Collingwood, your Essendon, Carlton's all. That's all, mate. Geelong Hawthorn is where it's at.
It is phenomenal. We'll get to that straight up the top. But joining us today, our Chief of Staff, Nick Smart, on debut. Smarty, how are you?
Good, Michael. How are you?
Very good. What did you think of the game? Oh. It was, as Jay said, an absolute classic. We've come to expect it. That's how you do a blockbuster, not what we saw on Friday. We'll get to that later, but this was an old-fashioned, shades of 89.
Well, it was a fair contrast between the two blockbusters of the round, wasn't it, going from Good Friday to Easter Monday. bit of a difference there, but they should play every week, shouldn't they? It's the modern-day rivalry, Geelong Hawthorn. Every time they play, it's just unbelievable, Jay-Z.
A couple of big things come out of this game, I thought, Mick. Chris Scott's kingdom for a key defender. You know, yep. the bat signal that they used to send out in Gotham City. You can imagine Chris Scott standing down there in Millbush Street, just sending out the bat signal because is Jared Ruffhead outmarked young Zach Guthrie?
Oh,
looks like a year 10
nasty
student.
Late, didn't it? Well, Harry Taylor
three times.
Has got the plantar fascia. The word is it's actually snapped or, which is good.
Oh, it is.
Because you want that Robert Harvey. Yeah,
Robert Harvey off the
kitchen.
The kitchen, yeah.
So I think he'll be back sooner rather than later, but you're right, it was it's a glaring problem for them, the defence.
And they could not only get outmarked a couple of times, but they struggled to exit the D50. So that Hawthorn small forward pressure was really the telling factor in this game, especially late in the second quarter. Yes, the big three Geelong midfielders.
The Holy Trinity.
Yeah, the Holy Trinity.
How did they go?
They were excellent in the last quarter.
They were incredible. Yeah,
particularly so with Jeezy's tough. And Ablett in the last quarter.
Yeah, didn't he just lift?
Provided a bit of run, yeah.
But the winners, Clarko, vindication for what happened. Mitchell again outstanding. O'Meara was a little bit quiet, but I think since the bye last year, they're 8-3, the Hawks.
We've always said, haven't we, that we're the hardest team in the AFL to rate. We were saying that before the start of the season.
Yep.
They are looking unbelievable. 2-2, just looking amazing. What do you think?
Organised, that's the word.
Where do you rate them?
It's sickening how quickly this club
is. It is, actually. We all wanted them to go down for at least a decade, and they're back pretty much. What about Daniel Menzel? He was unwanted by Geelong. He was phenomenal for the Cats.
Yeah, well, we thought Liam Picken 2 years ago was the biggest cut price superstar in the AFL, Mick. But now that is Daniel Menzel. He's playing for a packet of chips, let's be honest, maybe $1,000 a game. What is it, 8 goals in 2 games? Well, Tom Hawkins hasn't fired a shot this season.
One goal this year.
Yeah, and sort of looks slow. He did respond sort of later in that game. But Daniel Menzel, I tell you what, they couldn't give him away at the end of last year, but he was outstanding.
Could we just throw it forward quickly, Michael? This weekend on Sunday, Hawthorn Richmond at the G. What a massive game that is. And it's as a Tigers, man. How do you feel going into that match, especially after what we saw in Adelaide on Thursday night?
Very nervous and pleased that Richmond's playing Brisbane the following week and hopefully can get to 2-2.
Mick, can I ask you about Tommy Mitchell? Now, we've been raving about Dustin Martin going back-to-back in the Brownlow medal stakes. Tommy Mitchell, round two, currently leading the Brownlow
medal. How many do you have today?
40-2 goals.
Yeah.
So that's 94 possessions in 2 weeks. He'll be leading the Brownlow. Round six might be the new favourite.
Yeah, well, he's, as I say, more damaging with the ball this year. He's been incredible. And your boy Tim Kelly, who you wrote about today for the Cats, we should mention him as well. Another outstanding game from the rookie.
He looked their best player at halftime, and Stephen Wells has done it again. He's found this mature age player who really, in Mitch Duncan's absence today, really stepped up and was terrific.
Now, what do you think about my theory, Smarty, that they've got it wrong, the AFL? They should have played, if they wanted to go to Good Friday, play it at the MCG, Richmond versus Collingwood, and actually have a monster game. Because I feel as though it's great to give those lesser clubs a Good Friday, but I just don't think it's taken off in the way that Anzac Day or Dreamtime.
Not sure about that one, Mick. To be honest, so we've got to give some clubs a different blockbuster. So it's going to be a big occasion anyway.
Aren't they? Don't do blockbusters, those teams.
Well, we've got to give it some time. Obviously, they had the worst.
Where was the crowd?
Yeah, it's a fair point. And let's be honest, it's going to have a hard argument for next year, aren't they? Because it was the worst possible result for them. It was a terrible game. Not a great crowd.
Plus, they changed the teams. I can't understand why you don't try and get a bit of regularity. They had the Bulldogs last year.
Yeah, they didn't pay it the respect it deserved, I think.
Well, why didn't they?
I'm not sure they care.
Well, the other
can
club
you give us a few more details?
It was a bit of a couple, I think, no-show at some at key events. I think North Melbourne was supported in droves, but the Western Bulldogs didn't offer it the same support, and that's why they lost it to St Kilda.
Well, North were great, but we have to talk about the team, new topic that they beat, and that was St Kilda. It was, I think David King said today, very early for a powwow, week two, they cancelled Easter and had a big meeting heart-to-heart. Where are they at?
Well, I just don't think they're very good. I mean, we had a lot of... There's a little bit of excitement coming into the season about the Saints, but you look.
They said they could win the premiership.
They could win it. You know, but you look at the weekend: Armitage, Stevens, Sinclair, Steele. I mean, it's just a shocking performance in the midfield. They're defensively lazy. They're bereft of leadership. I just couldn't see any upside for them. Where do you think their main issue is, Jay? If you have to look at them right now,
your main Chris Judd said today that they went too soon on Montagne and Nick Riewoldt.
Well, it's hard to argue that they lack some senior experience. So I'm with Juddy on that. I think even having just a Nick Riewoldt there to provide some support, some encouragement, a firm voice. Now, the spotlight...
Is he in their next premiership side? No.
Well, if they played finals this year, do you reckon Nick Riewoldt would have played? I reckon he would have been in the team. For me, the focus is on Alan Richardson here, boys, because he's shown a lot of support for his playing group when they've been in these positions before. Boys, I've got faith in you. I'm going to back you in. Are we going to see a strong statement at the selection table from Alan Richardson here? Because Jack Sinclair, 10 and 12 possessions. Jack Steele's average...
He was rated elite last year, you're telling me today. Yeah.
The only player by St Kilda player by champion data. Jack Steele, Billy Long is under the pump. Nathan Brown had 6 goals kicked on him. The tall forward line's not working. So there's some big question marks there.
And Jay, well, I think we'll say earlier today, you look at the Saints next month, they've got Adelaide, Geelong, GWS and Hawthorn. That is a really tough month to come up against after a performance like that. So it's going to be a massive question mark for Geelong, for St Kilda the next few weeks.
And Mick, does Richardson come under pressure? So we know he's contracted the end of next year. So the Saints did extend his contract, but if they were to underperform this year, not make finals, would his job come under pressure?
Possibly, but isn't the old saying, if you don't have the cattle, Jay, I know some people say Jack Stevens an A grader, but he's not an automatic.
Were they bold enough at the trade table last year?
Had a good start to the year. Sorry,
were the Saints bold enough at the trade table last year? They had pick 7 and 8. They went for the kids, Clark and Caulfield. Should they have gone?
We're going to be okay, aren't they?
Yeah, but
what would you have done?
Well, you can make a strong case, I think, for making a stronger play in the here and now, and that is to try and lure a senior star.
Who have they got? Sorry, Smarty. Next week.
So they've got Adelaide. Next week.
Over there?
I believe so.
Ooh, it's going to be tough for them. All right, let's go to the other club in crisis, probably even a deeper crisis, Jay-Z, given that they won the premiership not that long ago, 2016, the Western Bulldogs.
We need to throw to Jay Ryder. Jay was our man there yesterday. He was all over this. And looking at our report this morning, it was a very, very, very strong piece.
Yeah, yes.
I just want to remind us of some of it. First fortnight has been junk, soft, spiritless, the average team at best. Jay, very strong words, but I don't think many could disagree with you, given what they've served up over the first fortnight.
21
tackles.
When
you see it on print, Smarty.
Yeah, black and white. You know when your phone starts beeping before 7 a.m. you got drums? No, 21.
Did you get a couple of
21 tackles. Let's move on. 21 tackles at halftime. That isn't the Bulldog manic intensity, desperation, energy and effort that made them such a good side in 2016. We keep banging on about that. They're undersized in defence and in attack. They don't have the targets. What's Tom Boyd doing? Why is he not in this team?
Well, he's the highest paid VFL player since Jordan McMahon. I mean, the money. He's got to come in, doesn't he? Now, Redpath was another guy that they potentially could have had, and he was unavailable because of a clerical error.
That was embarrassing.
That just goes to... Torrey Dixon's another guy.
He'll come in. Him and Mitch Wallace have to come in. It is that simple. And Mitch Wallace is kicking goals, racking up touches in the VFL. You know, this guy was third or fourth in their best and fairest only a couple of years ago, especially now with Liberatore out. Mm. They need a stronger body and experienced player around the hard ball because they got smashed in contested possession by the Eagles.
Who are they playing, Smarty?
Bulldogs got the Bombers.
They do have the Bombers in a very, very tricky match there.
Yes, okay. Well, a theory that Jimmy Bartel spoke about today, does that manic pressure have an expiry date? Like Fremantle did it for a couple of years. How long can you keep on cracking in and playing at that frenetic energy that got them that premiership?
And that was St Kilda.
Human nature?
Yeah, 2009, 2010, they played.
It's taxing.
Yeah, huge, huge effort. But, I mean, they are a young team, the Bulldogs. But do you think Luke Beveridge gets too funky at the selection table? Is some of the stuff a bit curious
or not?
Well,
he must have standards. And if you don't meet him, he doesn't care who you are.
Sure. Yep.
Whether your name's Jesus Christ, you're out of the team.
Right. No, and that's the point, I think, Jay, what Bevo says. Like, we're missing a lot of premiership players, but as it's been pointed out, well, a lot of them are in the twos.
Yeah, Mitch Wallace is available, Shane Biggs, Tory Dixon, Tommy Boyd. These are all premiership players. They could have 15 or 16 in the team. They're just choosing not to play them. So I don't see that as big an excuse, Michael.
I know Jake Stringer didn't have a great game, but he was sort of seen as the guy we need to move on, and that hasn't shown itself to be working just yet, does it, in terms of the culture, etc.?
We look at Luke Dalhouse's form. So we thought he was an absolute star of the competition, one of the best hard-working small forwards. And
60 Supercoach points.
He's been very flat. So they need to even get the Bont, back.
You know, his level's been down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Would you agree?
Yep.
Or was that harsh?
I thought he was one of their better players yesterday. Yeah. But this is weighing heavily on the leadership group. And Luke Beveridge said this, you know, it's for them to drop off so starkly and so suddenly in 25 games, I mean, this would be having a huge toll on those guys. And Beveridge said that. So it's their job to support those
guys.
And
it makes it a massive match this week, doesn't it, against Essendon. Essendon Bulldogs, both coming off disappointing performances. It's a huge match already in the season.
History shows that if you start the season 0-3, you don't play finals. Now, clearly Sydney proved that inaccurate last year. But when you look over 20 years, teams who go 0-3 don't play finals.
Which is why Melbourne were very lucky to get out of jail up there.
They were.
Let's talk about a massive game coming up on Friday night. There is blockbuster fatigue, as so many of them. Collingwood versus Carlton. Now, arguably, I know Nathan Buckley coached in the preliminary final, so that was probably his biggest game. But this might be his second biggest game of his coaching life, I would have thought, because as you say, 0-3, curtains.
I'm not so sure, Mick.
Take your jumper off.
No, I'm partial to Collingwood, and I think I've gone through the first.
Partial? You got a tattoo on your
arm. I do not. My wife wouldn't allow that. But I've had the five stages of grief the last few years with Collingwood. I'm always at the acceptance stage, and I think everyone just actually needs to now take a bit of a breath on Collingwood. And it sort of really drummed home for me on the weekend. I thought it was a terrific performance against GWS, and then just to lose the injuries that they had. With
that's
Broomhead,
true.
With a broken leg, Moore's out, as confirmed today, he'll be out for a month.
Yep.
I mean, I think we just need to take a breath with Collingwood now. But
cut the crap, Smarty. If they don't win this week against Carlton, they'll be lining up down there at Olympic Park.
The disclaimer, Clarkie, is I believe if they turn the performance they did against GWS, then they get some leeway. If they turn up how they turn up in round one,
they're playing Carlton, so
heads will roll quickly. No, I mean if they turn up against Carlton and lose again, the heat
but
goes
even
right
if they
back
lose
along.
Admirably
it's how they
Carlton,
lose. It
Carlton
is
Carlton, and you know
it is, but it's how they lose given their injury situation. I mean, DeGoey he's coming back in the VFL this week. Wells is coming back this week.
Yeah.
There's a few to come back, but at this point in time, I just think still need a little bit of a breath on them, even despite. Because I just don't think they're very good.
I've got a separate opinion, and that is the temperature is going to go up significantly, Mick, if they lose this. It's a spotlight game for Nathan Buckley. We absolutely can't ignore that. Yes, their forward line is decimated, so no Fasolo, no Elliott. You know, as you said, Moore's out, Reed will come back, Cox will come back and has to show something. And if they do produce that intensity we saw against GWS, you know, they should win. But if they do lose, then it'll be time to really turn the blowtorch on this footy club once again. And
they
we want to see more growth. We want to see more from Taylor Adams, more from Adam Treloar. We want to see this midfield play as well as it possibly can.
You saw that stat, 56 weeks now they've been outside the top eight, which is the longest they've ever been out of a finals position in the history of the Collingwood Footy Club. Carlton have been out for 93 weeks, so both clubs really need this one desperately.
I was going to ask, the flip side of it is Carlton. some would argue they turned up pretty well against Richmond in the opener. Pretty poor performance at the weekend. How do you see them going into this match? And where do you think they sit? We always talk about external expectations and the public blowtorch. Where is it with Carlton, do you think?
No, I still think they're a potential bottom four side. I mean, they've got a critical mass of young players. There's no doubt about that. And it's probably 3 years away before we see them really pushing towards finals. I like what they're trying to do offensively, but question mark, there's still a big question mark over what they're doing defensively. Jacob Wiedering's obviously out of form.
What's wrong with him, Joe?
Sam Docherty. He just looks down on confidence. I think he's a star player. He can read the ball well, but you have to look at the structure at the moment down there, because Liam Jones probably takes his natural spot. They've got Plowman and Marchbank, and you know they threw him forward at the weekend. I just think maybe he needs to go back to the VFL and do what he does best. That's playing centre half back, full back, and intercepting the ball.
I'll give you a red hot tip, and history says this: Carlton will turn up for this match. There's absolutely
They
beat Collingwood twice last year. They always like to spoil Collingwood's party, and often. It happens, so they'll be up for it. Early tip for this match, can I ask both of you?
The Pies should win.
I like what you say there is Carlton sometimes tend to bring all the former greats in just to remind the young players of how much they hate Collingwood. I'm going to pick the Pies.
I reckon they will. I can just see it. I'm just scarred from history, and I can just see them. I can see Kerno kicking 12 and running amok.
They should win by 5 goals, the Pies, this one. They need to.
They desperately should. Righto, some great stories over the weekend. A kid called Liam Ryan. Now, that was the first that I'd seen. He picked 26. I think you wrote about him, Jay, saying that the Eagles wanted Tim Kelly.
Yep.
They missed out on him at 24, and then they got Liam Ryan. So both outstanding, but he really lit up Etihad Stadium
straight out of the waffle. Don't you love those stories? It's like a throwback to yesteryear when you see a bloke come out of the state league and just dominate and take hangers.
That banana kick was just a ripper.
He did try to take mark of the year 4 times before halftime, Mick, and I love that. Now, that's what we want from him. We want the freedom, the flair. Go for it, young man. Don't worry about the structures or the disciplined play or the defensive stuff. Just fly for the ball.
Do you think Jeremy Howe getting a little bit nervous? Just thinking, all of a sudden got a little bit of competition.
I think Jeremy Howe will be okay. Yeah. He almost took a ripper. What'd you think of the Eagles without a coach? I thought they were very impressive.
Yeah, they were. Nick Natanui looks to me like he can have a real impact this year off his knee. And I thought Jack Darling, this is a bloke who's probably been tagged the most underperforming player in the AFL over the past few years. He kicked 4 goals, was best on...
Because Josh Kennedy's not there. When you're not the top dog,
it's
he wanted to be Batman. Is that what you're saying? you got Shannon Hearn launching bullets off that half back line and hitting him on the tit.
Is he the best kick
that helps
in the comp?
Probably the best field kick.
He's very close. As you said, he played 56% of the match. He's still getting.
He only played 56%
and still had 33 hitouts. And he's just going beautifully at the moment.
Huge impact. And wins on the road this season. I know it's only been 2 rounds, but I just get the feeling that this is as even. I know last year was pretty even, but if you can grab a win on the road, they're going to be worth gold.
Yeah, they'll take a bit out of that, won't they? Especially the Eagles with their history, you know, in Melbourne. So even though the Dogs are a bit spiritless, they'll take a bit out of that.
Now, always injuries. We hate seeing them.
Yeah.
We saw an absolute couple of shockers, Broomhead and Scully. Funnily enough, both being operated on last night by the same doctor, one after the other.
Really?
Take us through the Broomhead one.
It was ugly. It was halfway through the first quarter. The ball was bobbling towards the goal line, and he went to kick it off the ground.
It was a bit reckless.
Well, out of the air. It wasn't the smartest decision Tim Broomhead's ever made, but his left leg hit the post, snapped in 2 places. He knew straight away he was in real strife. And you see some of those images of his leg basically at right angles at his roofing. And that's why, I guess, for Collingwood to sort of rally throughout that game, it was an honourable effort.
Because
when you see one of your mates on the ground with his leg pointing the other way.
His best mate's Grundy, I think. And how good was he? Talk about a monstering.
He's becoming elite pretty quickly, isn't he?
He is. Yeah. And Ruck's an interesting situation. I heard Matthew Lloyd say that Richmond can no longer go with Sean Grigg as their second ruckman.
A change to the Premiership blueprint.
The club. Well,
what do you think about that?
I think Sean Hampson is still on our list. seriously. I think there's something in it because, certainly on Friday night, Thursday night, we got, but Sam Jacobs is an elite ruckman. What do you think of the Adelaide Oval incident with Damien Hardwick?
Well, I think, look, everybody, I think your immediate reaction is, gee, I wonder what he said. It must have been really bad.
Yeah.
But then what? If we're to believe what's being reported as true... That it,
right, so give us that smarty.
Well, if well, it is that, because it's being investigated, okay, well, they may well come out and say...
The hearsay, what's being reported is, hey, to the effect of, hey, buddy, not so good away from the G. Is that...
If that's what he said, that is disgusting. And that cannot be tolerated.
Is he a bit sensitive, Dimmer? Why has the premiership coach got a bit of a thin skin?
Look, let's find out what he said, but you probably don't want to be getting into...
I was going to say, that's the flip side, Isabella. I mean, would you really want to be... I mean, if you want to yell at a coach as he goes by, I mean, it's a, you know, good on you, I guess. If, I mean, but you've got to have a bit more of a thicker skin than that, don't you? If that is the remark in question.
We'll find out probably by close of business tomorrow. What about the Gold Coast Suns? They've been the whipping boy. They are on top of the ladder. Well, second on the ladder. Another win. Tom Lynch, the lazy eight. People had written him off, even though he really couldn't have got a kick in that cyclone up in Cairns.
what's the under-over wins for him needing to stay? So he says it's not about money, but he knows he's going to get between $1.2 and $1.5 million a year anyway. How many wins...
Plus the ambassador money for the AFL, which is a joke.
So a truckload. But how many wins does the Gold Coast need to chalk up to convince him that they're not too far away from finals?
I'm not sure if it's actually a number. I think it's probably more just... just the way it's looking. I know
the vibe, the Dennis DeNudo vibe.
Because the disclaimer with the Suns, I think they're away from Metricon for the first.
That's a joke.
It's a long time because of the Commonwealth Games. They're the travelling roadshow. I know.
They're playing a home game this week in Perth.
They're the travelling roadshow for the first half of the season, which, you know, they didn't need.
You get on the road. You get with your mates. Who doesn't like a boys' trip?
They're staying there for 10 days, Jay-Z, because they're playing the two Perth teams. They've been looked after.
Very strong start.
In fact, I reckon they've been looked after in their fixture period, the Gold Coast Suns, the North Melbourne and Carlton start. But anyway, I digress.
Very strong start.
What's your gut feel on Lynch?
He'll play for Richmond. It's my gut feel.
Yep. Seriously? Yep. Richmond.
Smarty.
I'm naive, but I think he may stay.
Jay?
Outstanding, Mick.
Well done, boys.
More Super Footy podcasts.
Thank you, Michael.
Be here this time next Sunday so you can tune in as you're doing right now on a Monday morning.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.